This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Valentine's Day. I think we're supposed to say that, right, to start off today. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have a Valentine in your life that you're celebrating with. And if not, then just happy Valentine's Day to you. It's me. I'll be your Valentine today, right now. Here, happy Valentine's Day from me, Sal Capaccio. There you go. It's not really, you know, it's not like an official, like, federal holiday. It's not like schools are closed. In fact, schools are open, and it's like the best when you're a kid. It's kind of like that awkward thing. You probably went through that, Josh, right? When you're in like middle school and you give out candy hearts or you give out the little cards, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting time back then.
So my son has today, like, you know, some schools, they don't give out candy or they do or they don't let you bring it in. I know everybody's got a different thing, but yeah. And then, you know, you kind of give someone a certain, the hearts that have the little things written on them. And, you know, when you're in like, fifth grade, sixth grade, heck, maybe you're in 11th or 12th grade. And you're like, oh, I want to give that girl or that guy this heart with has this little extra meaning on it or something, you know? And, oh, that one's from me. Or you get the cards. Remember those little tiny cards? Like, you'd buy them in the packs and you'd have to distribute them. So by the end, I don't know if you guys did this. I mean, maybe this is way old school, Josh, what I'm about to say. But like when we did it back in the day, like, you distribute the cards, the Valentine's cards, and everybody had to get one. It wasn't like you were leaving kids out. I guess you could do that. But so at the end of the class, you'd literally have like 25 Valentine's Day cards.
Yep. It was the exact same thing back then for me. Like, it was, we actually had like a mailbox in other rooms. Like, if you had friends in another class, you could like go out and put it in the mailbox and then come back into your classroom. And like everyone in your classroom had to get one. But then if you could bring extras and give them to like, oh, my friends in the other class or whatever, like, I don't know. It was a weird system, but like it was kind of cool. Just to like be like, hey, you got mail. Like, it was kind of a fun thing to have, like when you were like, I don't know, in like third grade, like, oh, wow, I got mail from my friend across the hallway. And like we would do it for everything, not even just Valentine's Day. Like, it would just be like random stuff that we would just put in these little mailboxes. It was kind of cool, but I think we only did it for like a year or two and then it just kind of went away. I don't know what happened, but
now they just text each other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right, you know what I mean? Like, now you just text your friend in the other classroom. I know there's a lot of debates about, you know, cell phones, but seriously, like, that's what people are doing now. They bring their cell phone to school and they're like texting each other. Oh yeah, my friend's in the other room. I don't have to send a mail or anything like that. I do remember back at this time period, it had to be a middle school type of age, where elementary school, I guess, I don't know, third, fourth, somewhere in there. And there was a girl I really liked, and she gave me a card like everybody else did. You get all these cards, and there's probably 12, 13 girls in the class or whatever, and 12, 13 guys in the class, whatever you got. And I just saved that one. Everything else, like at the end of the day, end of the week, whatever, you throw it out. I'm like, oh, no, I gotta save that one. And I like hid it. I hid it in one of like my dresser drawers as a kid in my room. And then I remember like a few weeks later, like, my mom's like cleaning out the dresser drawer. She's like, oh, what's this card? And that was totally embarrassing. I'm like, oh, I don't know. It must have just like kind of fell in there. You know what I mean? And then you had to kind of give it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was going to throw it out. So that was a little embarrassing. But that happened. You know, I mean, hey, you know, you just had to, I wanted to hold on to it. I wonder what ever happened to that girl, by the way. Good morning. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today on a Valentine's Day Friday, and also a last day for me for a week here on the air, and then I'll be back at the NFL Combine a week from Monday. So let me just kind of set up what's happening so you know and you're ready for it, because it's going to come fast and furious after a winter break next week, which we're going to talk about in a little while. After winter break, which is a lot of winter break for a lot of people. And I know not everybody out there. I know some kids actually have school and it's not winter break for everyone. But next week's a big winter break for a lot of people. And it's a vacation break for me. I'll be gone. So Zach and Josh and Derek, I believe, all three of you are going to be hosting in this time slot next week, correct? Is that what's going on?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do a little rotational thing. I think okay. Monday it's me and Zach, and then I'm not sure in the other days, but I know Tuesday through Thursday is Derek and Zach, and then I'll still be here working the board.
Okay, so you guys will have 10 to 12, and you won't hear from me. I'll be gone, and then on Monday the following week, which is Monday the 24th, that is, excuse me, that is the NFL Combine, the start of it, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Now, the Combine actually kind of doesn't really kind of officially begin until Tuesday, but because Sean McDermott is on the competition committee, which meets all week, just like last year, he's actually going to speak to the local media on Monday, February 24th. At 4 p.m. Our plan is to carry that live for you during Shope and the Bulldog. That will be the first time we've heard from McDermott, obviously, since the end of season press conference. So, you know, he'll be asked about James Cook and some other things around the roster. But if you want to know about, you know, James Cook and being asked, that'll be Brandon Bean. Now, Brandon Bean will talk on Tuesday, the 25th from the Combine at 2 p.m. My assumption is you'll hear that live on One Bills Live, but either way, I'll be at the Combine that week covering it, and we'll talk about it. We'll be on, and I'll be on in the morning show and the afternoon show. But that's the NFL Scouting Combine. The 24th is what it really going to start off here in Buffalo. The 25th, which is Tuesday, 26th and 27th, and then throughout the week. And then you have the workouts and things like that. And I'll be back here in Buffalo by the end of the week, by the time a lot of the positions work out. It's really more about talking with the GMs, talking with the coaches around the league, and talking with other media members. That's really what, you know, the whole the part of the Combine for me that's the most valuable is gathering that information. And then all the other, the testing and stuff you can watch and you can see, and we'll have all of that, and we'll get more into draft, and we'll talk more about like what people, you know, want to do in the 2025 NFL draft. That's going to happen in a little over a week. Next week is, like I said, winter break for a lot of people. So maybe you're going away. I'm going away. That's why today I figured it would be good to have Patrick Hammer on. Patrick Hammer, maybe you're going to be home all week. And I've heard about a lot of snow coming next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. I don't know if it's how much snow, but we'll talk with Patrick Hammer today at 11:30 a.m. So we'll get with Pat today at 11:30 a.m. And if you're wondering what this weekend, next week into winter break is going to be like, myself, I will be on a cruise. And we'll be heading to the Western Caribbean, going to Mexico and some cities over there, going to see some really cool things, going to swim with some dolphins, going to be awesome, going to recharge the batteries a little bit, spend some time with the family after obviously a long, you know, football season. Very cool, very much looking forward to that, and going to have some sunshine. So that's where I'll be next week. But I can't go anywhere without having internet. I don't know if you know if you're like this, Josh, but no matter where I go, if I go on vacation anywhere in the world, like I tell my wife, I'm like, I have to be plugged in. I got to know if something happens. Like, who knows? If I find out, like, I do not want to be independent of the job. I might have to come on the air and just like, I don't care, I'm on vacation, I'm coming on. I mean, what if the Bills make a big move? Like, I need to know, or the Sabres. I cannot be detached like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I went to Mexico a few years ago. The weekend the Bills played the Ravens and they had that big comeback, we couldn't get the game streaming anywhere. And we just kept checking our phones. And it was like the end of the game. And someone's like, I guess I'll go check. So he hops out of the pool and he runs back. And he's like, the Bills won. They made the comeback. And we're all like freaking out and everything. Like, it was an awesome experience. But like, it was one of those things where it's like, you can't watch the game. So you kind of have to like, you find out how much you're missing. Like, you find out, like, you're really, you know, not dependent, but I guess, like, kind of dependent on, like, what's going on in the game? I need to know. And, like, you can't watch it. So it was an interesting feeling. I never really had that because I've never been out of the country. So like every other place, you can usually find somewhere to stream it or find a restaurant that can stream it or whatever. But like, it was such a different experience for me.
2006, Sabres, Carolina Hurricanes. I was flying to Europe with my wife during game six and had no idea what was going on. And the Sabres won in overtime. Remember that game? Sabres won in overtime, game six.
That's,
like, I had no idea. I had to wait. Like, when we landed, wherever we... I can't remember the exact cities we went to, like, where we stopped over. Once we landed, I had to do that thing where I literally went to, like, I think even a payphone at the time and had to call, like, my cell phone. I didn't have service in Europe to go to my voicemail to check my voicemails. I had a friend leaving voicemails on my phone. And I had to go kind of punch in the code to find out what happened in the game. That's how I found out.
That's actually really cool. But that's the most mid-2000s story I've ever heard. Like, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, it's just the funniest thing ever. Like, you had to call your voicemail on your own phone from a payphone. Yes. Like, it's just, that's awesome.
So that, and oh my God. And like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you plan a vacation, like it's hockey season. It goes so long. So you don't know necessarily, you know, when it's going to end. But I remember thinking after that, oh my God, I can't. And game seven, I don't remember watching game seven. I can't remember where we were. We might've been in Italy or in Germany at the time. We had gone over that way. And I don't remember exactly where we were during that day, but it was a totally different time. You know what I mean? Like the time slot, of course, because I'm so far ahead in Europe at the time. So yeah, for me, I got to be plugged in. So I'll know what's going on. And, you know, who knows? I do remember one year I was in Florida on vacation. That's only Florida and still East Coast time, United States, playing golf. And I believe that's when the Bills may have not traded Tyrod. Maybe they signed an extension. There was a trade they made. And I said, you know what? And I went on with Chopin the Bulldog. And I'm on vacation. I'm like, well, you know what? I just kind of need to talk about it. So those kinds of things happen. People have told me in the past, don't ever do that. Because if you go, like, if you work when you're on vacation, they're always going to want you to work when you're on vacation. I don't subscribe to that theory. I'm just like, I don't know. It's what I do. Someone wants to talk to me about the Bills. So, you know, they made this big move and my station wants me and I'm on vacation. But guess what? I'm just hanging out at a restaurant right now. So I'll give them a call and I'll go on for 20 minutes. So I don't mind doing that. Who knows what's going to happen over the next week or so. But yeah, that's where I'll be and then headed to the NFL Combine right after that. Also today, it is a birthday of sorts today. I just want to say on a personal note, today is, I don't know, I've been open about this, so I just want to say it because I want to thank the people who really have made my life much better. A year ago today, I received a pacemaker. And I don't know if, you know, how many people, you know necessarily that story, but I've shared it personally. There's nothing wrong with my heart. I had a condition. I still have, I guess, a condition where I passed out a lot in my life. And over the last, you know, like 5-6 years, I had a few really bad episodes where I passed out and I hit my head pretty badly. And back about 5-6 years ago, it was recommended to me that I had a pacemaker put in. And I was in my 40s at the time. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm too prideful. No way. That's for an older person. And then my cardiologist said, well, everybody who says that they don't want to do it, something bad usually happens when they have this kind of condition you have. And, you know, just letting you know, like, you're setting yourself up for something risky to happen. And I took that risk and I shouldn't have because I had another episode and I hit my head and I passed out, hit my head. It was a pretty bad scene. And I got rushed to the hospital. And that was a year and a half ago. And I said, you know what? I got to do this. I got to get this pacemaker. I have this family. I have a son. I can't be like risking driving with him or my wife and something happens. So I'll always remember it happened on Valentine's Day last year. And, you know, because of the heart. And I went into last year and I got a pacemaker and I have one. I wear one. It's part of my everyday life. There's nothing that's changed about my life other than I never have any times where I feel like I'm going to pass out, which is awesome. So they did a great job. And everybody that was a team that helped do that and be a part of it in my life, I'm just forever grateful and thankful. I don't talk about it a lot, but I've been open about it. And I also want to say it's an opportunity for me sometimes on this platform or any platform to say, you know, we should all just take a look and think about our health. And never, I was too prideful. Don't ever be too prideful. You know, if it comes down to taking care of your body, taking care of your health, and, you know, being there for your loved ones, and, you know, don't be selfish. Don't be too prideful. And I was about 5-6 years ago when it was recommended to me to get a pacemaker, and I did that. And I shouldn't have been because I'm so thankful for it now. And I've done some work with the American Heart Association since then. I've learned a lot about pacemakers and obviously CPR and AEDs and all those things. And you know, the DeMar Hamlin thing that happened, I was on the field for that. So a lot of those, they've all kind of converged in my life in a lot of ways. So I just want to say thank you to the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the people, the cardiologists who over the last several years have been really kind of helping me along and got me to a point where I was much more comfortable doing it. And it's kind of the best decision I ever made in my life. And I will tell you this, Josh, after doing it, I never realized how healthy and fit I could be, because I've always been a healthy and fit guy. But ever since I got the pacemaker, I'm like, I'm going to make sure I just stay on top of everything. And I feel at 51 kind of better than I've ever felt in my life, which is really cool, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's I didn't even realize it was the year anniversary. I'm thinking back now. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I remember the, you know, the day me and Zach, I think, filled in for you and everything. And you know, yeah, it's just awesome, like looking back on it and seeing how well it was an easy
quote unquote procedure, right? When you think about things like that. I remember the one thing I remember, I'll tell you just to wrap up this story. The thing I remember about going into the hospital, and you know, they wheeled me into this room and I'm like, okay, this is gonna happen now. Excuse me. And they gave me some, you know, anesthesia, and I remember just kind of talking with the doctor very briefly. And then literally, I remember going and back, being wheeled back into another room. And I said, are we about to start? And they said, no, we're done. You have it. It's inside your body now. I'm like, what? I had no idea. Like, that's how quick it happened, you know? So it was a procedure that kind of was way quicker and easier than I thought. But anyway, thank you so much. And again, another just reminder to everybody out there, if you're, you know, someone out there that's got something going on and you've been putting something off, just think about your loved ones, think about your health and the people around you who care about you. And, you know, I'm so glad that I finally made that decision after putting off that decision for a while. 803-0550 is the number to call today. We're going to get with Sal Majorana at 11 a.m. Sal is obviously covers the Bills still. He's on the Bills beat, covers them over in Rochester for the Democrat and Chronicle. But also, can we believe it? It's baseball season. Zach, look outside your window right now. It's baseball season. Yeah, that's right. I know. Sounds weird, right? As I said, Zach, sorry. Josh, look out your window right now. It's baseball season.
Let's put on the ice skates. Get out.
I know, right? I mean, don't the Bisons open on the 21st or 27th or something like that of next month? Like the Bisons, first game for the Bisons. Here we go. Let me get this for you. Hold on, this is crazy. I should know this. I'm going to look at this right now. In March, here we go. The 28th. Yep. The Buffalo Bisons play a home game on the 28th of March against Rochester. And you look, that is how many, like 5 weeks from now? It's crazy, right? It's amazing when you think about that. So yeah, they're going to be actually playing a game on that day. And it's going to be really interesting, you know, because baseball season's around the corner. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about that is pitchers and catchers have reported to training camp. Spring training, I should say. And Sal Majorana is a big Yankees guy, but big baseball guy. And he's got a great, great Yankees newsletter he puts together. This guy, it's free and it's a labor of love. I want to ask him about how the Yankees are positioned. You got Alex Bregman now signing with the Red Sox. What does the AL East look like? How about Soto going to the Mets? So we'll sprinkle in a little baseball today as we get towards February break and spring training happening down in Florida. As far as the Bills are concerned, so we had a report yesterday from Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News that said he is reporting that the Bills have moved on from their strength and conditioning coach, Eric Ciano. And Ciano's been with the team for quite a while, since 2010. And that has not been confirmed, you know, by the team or anything like that. But there's obviously a report from a media member. And I think that immediately when people think about that, they go right to, well, because of injuries. And I've dealt with a lot of people this whole year, but even recently telling me, oh my God, too many injuries. Folks, the Bills were not very heavily injured this year. They just weren't. They're actually one of the healthier teams in the league. I wish more fans would stop looking at their team just through, you know, blinders and only that prism and look at the whole league. You have to compare the league. You have to look at what's going on in the league and what the actual numbers are. And while the injury report every week looked a little bit long, of course it was, you know, with names, I should say, that's not how you determine that. A lot of those guys were, you know, they might have been limited participants, but you're managing them throughout the week. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's something with injuries. If this report is indeed true, I'm sure it's something with injuries. But I just want to remind everybody that the words strength and conditioning are two different words. There's two components to this. It's the conditioning, which is injuries as well. It's also the strength part. And I remember what, and I'm reminded of what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talked about at the end of the season last year, or just a few weeks ago, which is, you know, Dalton Kincaid and play strength, right? He needs to have better play strength. They want to get him there. And how Keon Coleman wasn't as physical when he came back from his injury. Now, that's not the same thing. I also think that, you know, we've taken a lot of calls over the years and heard from a lot of people saying the Bills are too light on defense. And I do think it's a fair criticism if you think they should be bigger and heavier. But my counter to that is, hey, you kind of have to do it one way or the other. Do you want to be that, or do you want to be more athletic to be able to go against these spread offenses? The Bills have kind of chosen that. They've chosen to be a little lighter and more athletic on defense. That's why I think, you know, Terrell Bernard is a smaller, undersized, if you will, middle linebacker. But I think he's really good at his job because you can keep him on the field for three downs. And he's very physical and he holds up against the run. Now, he's not as big, so he can get, you know, sometimes maybe there's a guy that can, you know, eat him up and swallow him up if he gets on him. But the guys like Bernard and Milano, what makes them special at what they do is they don't get in those positions, and they basically are able to run around those things or use techniques to get around those types of things. I do think on the defensive line, it's been something we talked about a lot with Ed Oliver. You know, Ed Oliver, is he big enough? Is he strong enough? The Bills have gone with a model on the defensive line of having a smaller interior. Now, Daquan Jones isn't small. He's over 300 pounds, but Ed Oliver certainly is. He's undersized, and they want to have penetrators, right? So then you look at, what about Greg Rousseau? Long, like, lankier guy, right? AJ Epinesa, remember when he came in the league, wanted him to lose weight, gain weight. There was this whole thing about all that. There's different things you have to think about when it comes to how you build a team and build a roster. And one of those things, I think, what I'm seeing now, if this report is true, and then tying it to also what the Bills did within the past few weeks, which is hiring new personnel on defense, like the coaching personnel, this guy Nielsen, who came over from Jacksonville and other places, Atlanta, and he has more experience in man-to-man. And then Mike Pellegrino reportedly coming over from New England as a secondary coach in some capacity, who also has more experience in man-to-man. And I'm trying to tie all of this together right now, and I'm trying to see the big picture of how they're building the organization and what they want, which is, okay, you tell me Dalton Kincaid needed a little more play strength, and Keon Coleman wasn't, you know, physical enough, and, you know, after the, and whether that is, maybe that's a separate bucket. But then I think about, okay, they're maybe shifting more to a man-to-man philosophy. And then if they are moving on from strength and conditioning, I think it might be more about the strength than it is about the conditioning / injuries. And it's very interesting to me. Now, you never know why teams make changes. Sometimes people are just in organizations a long time. They need a change. They need a different voice. That could very well be true, right? It doesn't have to be anything wrong, or they feel like, oh my God, we just weren't good in this area. Now, if you're great at what you do, it's going to be obviously something that you usually aren't going to make a change. But I do wonder if, I wonder what the Bills' philosophy is going into next year, if they're trying to make even more of a change in that regard. Are they going to get, do they want to get bigger and stronger? And maybe they're looking at that part of it and not just as much as, oh, this is about injuries or something. People talk about injuries all the time when it comes to strength and conditioning. That's what fans know a strength and conditioning staff to be about, is injuries, and they always relate it to injuries. I'm here to tell you, I think you got to be careful with that. It doesn't have to always be about injuries. Now, there's got to be some of that. They did have a lot of wrist injuries this year. Someone said, oh my God, look at all the hamstring injuries. What hamstring injuries? They had a few. I mean, Bale Inspector seems to, unfortunately, always have a hamstring injury like once or twice a year. They've had some over the years with some guys, but really last year, they didn't have a lot of that. They didn't have soft tissue injuries last year. The pec injury that happened to Terrell Bernard, thankfully, he was back after a little while. And then obviously Matt Milano, the bicep, and that's one. And who knows, maybe that plays into a move like this. That was him tackling a back bag, and he wound up hitting his bicep on a human being, like a knee, a leg. That's what the way it was described to everybody. So who knows? There's always little things that add up throughout a year that could lead to something like that. But I look at, and I defended the Bills a lot last year on how many times people would say, oh my God, they're always so injured. No, they're not actually. The Bills actually, I think, led the league in fewest number of guys on injured reserve. They were one of the best teams in the league at not having guys miss games because of injuries. But certainly that's part of the component. Now, coming back from an injury, that might have been a bit of an issue. You have what they said about Keon Coleman, and then you have a guy like Dwayne Carter who didn't see the field after his wrist injury. Juwan Smoot, he has a wrist injury. How effective was he when he came back? Maybe not as much. Amari Cooper, I mean, that was the year of the wrist injury, right? I don't know how much a strength and conditioning staff is going to have to do with a wrist injury. It's not. They're not injuring the players. The players are getting hurt doing football activities, playing on a football field. So I do think that when you, if you see a move like that, and if it is true for the Bills that they did, you know, move on from their strength and conditioning coach and maybe even staff, I wonder if more has to do even with the strength part than the conditioning part. It's just something I was thinking about a little bit today. So, you know, just wanted to kind of throw that out there a little bit. All right. So that being said, I asked you the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense? Like, what do you want from the Bills defense? I'm going to flip it today. What do you want from the Bills offense? After hearing about Dalton Kincaid, after hearing about Keon Coleman, do you just need one speed guy to run down the field? Is that what you want? Do you want something else, like something about the running backs or the tight end position and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox? It looks like the offensive line is in a really, really good spot. I have something on that I want to share with you in a little while. When we come back, we'll do that next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. I asked the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense specifically? My question today, what do you want from the Bills offense? 803-0550. Give me a call. Sal Capaccio with you on a Valentine's football. Can we call it a football Friday? I don't know. It'll always be a football Friday because there's always football going on back after this timeout on WGR. Okay. Did you, when you go to X, Twitter, a lot of times you have the, if you set it up like me, and I don't know if everybody does, but it says explore, and it has all these different kind of topics, right? Like you have one that says Notre Dame appoints Mike Martin, manager, WWE Hall of Fame 2025, Michelle McCool, strong candidate, right? Something like that. Here's one. And it's funny. It says, Team USA's uniform choice sparks debate at Four Nations Tournament. And if you click it, I'm like one of the top tweets they feature because that's what I did last night. There's a few others. Shayna's on there who joins Sabres Live. And I wrote last night on Twitter, I'm like, I do not like these white helmets with the blue uniforms. And if you click that explore and says Team USA's uniform choice sparks debate on Four Nations Tournament, click it. My tweet, along with other people who really agreed with me, are on there. So I'm glad that all of you, not all of you, glad a lot of you agreed with me. I did not like the blue jerseys with the white helmets. I would have preferred more of a blue helmet. Someone said that's what they wear, though, internationally. Not really. Go look at, I mean, maybe when these NHLers are playing in these in international tournaments like Olympics, but I went and looked at the World Juniors uniforms last time they played, and it was blue uniforms, a little lighter blue, with blue helmets. Canada wore red jerseys, sweaters, with black helmets. I don't know. I didn't like the blue with the white helmet. So anyway, I'm being the fashion police today on WGR. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Linda in Rochester. Go ahead and throw her up for me there, Josh. I appreciate it. Linda, you're up first on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's going on?
Hi, Sal. I wanted to get a chance to thank you for all your hard work and insight and your call-in shows. And it's always a pleasure to listen to you on a Monday after we win. And even after we lose, it's still good to hear you talk because you help me feel better. So I'm real happy that you're there. And I have a thought about the draft, seeing people are putting in different wish list items. I think the Bills should draft a very speedy and athletic secondary person, safety or corner. I think that's what we need, because there are a lot of speed demons out there that are wide receivers, and we could sure use somebody in the secondary to keep up with those guys. And I guess my parting thought would be, in the words of the great Josh Allen, be good, do good, God bless, go Bills. Thank you again, Sal.
You got it, Linda. I love it. I love it. That's a great Friday message on a Valentine's Day. Yeah, they need to get faster, Linda. I agree with you. I agree with Linda a lot there. They need to get faster, especially. See, here's what I think you really have to figure out now. And this is what we don't know, Linda, is are they planning on actually having more of this shift to man-to-man? And if that's the case, then I think you have to get a little faster. Now, Kyrie Elam is a fantastic athlete, and he's pretty fast, right? But I don't even know if that's going to work. And I know some people say, well, they go man-to-man and salvage Kyrie Elam's career. I mean, they've tried man-to-man with Kyrie Elam, and I don't know how well it's gone. I'm not even counting Kyrie Elam right now. I'm putting him in a spot where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Maybe he's on the roster. Maybe he's not. I'm not going to count on him, though. But if they're going to go more to a man-to-man defense, I do think they have to get a little faster, because you're going to have to run with these fast, athletic wide receivers. You don't have to be the fastest team when you play zone all the time. It's still not, you can't be slow, right? I mean, that's not the point. But you have to be faster if you're going to run man-to-man and play with guys and match them up. And that's where I wonder, and again, I'll go back to what I said earlier about, is there a philosophical shift at hand here, A, to go man-to-man, B, to get stronger, bigger and stronger? You can do both, like the front seven. You could be a little bigger and stronger somehow, a little more athletic in the secondary. You know, that's the puzzle, though. You have to thread that needle. Good call, Linda. I appreciate it. And we'll see what they do in the draft. The Bills picking 30th overall in the NFL draft, scheduled to. What's the chances they actually pick 30th? They don't normally pick where they're scheduled to pick under Brandon Bean. That's just the case, especially when they're lower. Traded down twice last year into the second round to ultimately grab Keon Coleman. What do you want from the Bills offense? Let's get connected with our fans. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. All right, got a couple of early tweets coming in. At Sal Sports, by the way. TLB says, bread and butter, easy plays once in a while. Okay, I mean, they have a lot of those, right? They have some bread and butter easy plays. They were not a team that threw the ball down the field a lot last year. So I'm going to say the other way, TLB. I think one of the things I want to see is more explosiveness down the field. And I think that doesn't have to just come from getting an explosive player. Of course, you want to have people who can do it. I think it comes from play design, play calling, and having your MVP quarterback with a rocket arm be able to throw the ball over the top of the defense sometimes. We didn't get that a lot last year. Matt Smith, I knew this would come, and that's okay. Matt says, nothing. Pay supporting cast, peanuts, outside of O-line, and spend all the money on defense. We just scored the second most points in the league with zero special offensive weapons. Josh with decent protection is all we need. That is true. They did score a lot, and I will be the first, but sometimes when it was a struggle, sometimes, and for the most part, it was very, very good. There were some games where it did not go great, and it was a bit of a struggle. The New England game at home comes to mind, right? Remember that game? They came back home from L.A., or Detroit, I should say, and they had L.A., then Detroit, and then they come home to New England. It just didn't go that well. Remember early in the season at Baltimore, a lot of circumstances there as well. But, I think they need more explosiveness. I agree. The offense, I think, is proven so far to be kind of self-sufficient, where it can run itself because you have Josh Allen. But, you know, I don't think you can just stand pat and just say do nothing with it. All right. Vertical threat that can separate, says Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Speed / separator at wide receiver, says Barry. RJ, team just needs a true number one with a speed element. And see, I think that's where most of you would go. That's what I want to see. It's easy to say, well, then why didn't they draft Xavier Worthy? And look, Xavier Worthy looked great towards the end of the year a few times. In the Bills game, he did score a couple touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I mean, those were plays when the game was in hand, and he really didn't do much outside of that. I'm also here to tell you, I'm not sold on Xavier Worthy as an actual, like, every single week reliant player, more than just a speed guy every once in a while to get the ball down the field. He only had over 500 yards receiving, and it didn't go great for him for much of the year against Patrick Mahomes. I think people see the highlights of Xavier Worthy, and you could say, oh my God, look at that guy, give me him. I still want to see him be able to be a first-round worthy talent, and to me, that has to be more consistency. I mean, we're sitting here talking about Dalton Kincaid's lack of consistency as a first-round tight end, which is true. I want to see that from Xavier Worthy in Kansas City before I say, oh my God, they hit a home run with Xavier Worthy. No, they hit a home run explosive player. They didn't necessarily hit a home run player that's going to be doing that on a consistent basis, because that wasn't the case last year. So the point is, to me, you have to be very careful. These guys go to the combine, they can run a 4.2, 4.3. I mean, 4.2, obviously, setting records. They could run a 4.3 and a 4.41 and say, okay, like that's fast enough. That's good. I want this guy. What else can he do to help your offense besides just put him on the field every once in a while to run go routes? I think that's what you have to be careful of when you're drafting. Now, maybe the Bills are in a position where they can do that. Maybe they're ultimately now in a position where, look, take a look at their wide receivers, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and you probably bring a Mac Hollins back, right? Where's this guy going to play anyway? I don't care. He's not playing a ton of snaps. Just get him because he's fast and put him on the field. I get it. If that's your argument, that's the way you want to go with this, I get it. I just think you have to be careful about saying, just get a speed guy. I want explosiveness. I want a speed guy. Believe me, trust me. If you just go and get one in the first round, he might be only that. And I think you got to have better than only that in the first round. I'm not convinced Xavier Worthy is more than only that right now. As much as he was very, very good towards the end of the year last year in some games. Steve says Hollywood Brown. Interesting. All right, Carl, I love it. Jamar Chase. Yeah, I'd love Jamar Chase as well. That would be great. Now that's a true number one receiver, right? I mean, Jamar Chase is legit. He might be the best receiver in the game or second best behind Justin Jefferson. But, I mean, that's a true, legit number one receiver who can do everything. He's not Xavier Worthy speed, but he's fast. He can get down the field, and he can run every route, and he can make every catch. And he's a quarterback that can get him the ball. Sir Chivalry says Deebo Samuel. All right. Interesting one there, right? Deebo's not the same player. But, man, he does still excite me a little bit when I say, man, could you get the ball in his hands and go? I don't know. I don't want to. If he's going to be released, you don't want to give up too much for him. If you're going to trade for him, he's got a contract. Rumor he's going to get released maybe instead. That's probably the right way to go. I'm not sitting here clamoring for Deebo Samuel. I'm probably not even necessarily that interested. But that kind of skill set still intrigues me. 803-0550, the number to call. What do you want from the Bills offense? You can call up. You can tweet me at Sal Sports. Sal Marana coming up. Rochester Democrat and Chronicle at 11 a.m. Pat Hammer at 11:30 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You know, I love what I do. I'm not looking to leave. But if I were looking to leave, if I was... How do I become a GM of a college program? Holy cow. These guys, like, these are some big-name people going into these colleges to be these GMs. And remember when Woj did it, St. Bonaventure? Andrew Luck at Stanford. I think that might be his title. Then we got Ron Rivera going back to Cal. I don't know if that's his title or not, but you got another one here, Mike Martin, NFL veteran Mike Martin. Joining Notre Dame, has officially named Mike Martin, previously the director of scouting and advancement for the Lions, as their new general manager. You got another one here with Pete Thamel was reporting on, which one was his? The Washington. Where's Washington? Here we go. Here's this guy. University of Washington is hiring veteran agent Cameron Foster as the school's senior director of contracts and cap management. So like a GM there. And I think these jobs pay really well, by the way, and why not? The college sports is such big business. We've always known that. But now the difference is it's literally like taking, because of the legalities of the landscape now, because of NIL and the portal and how they work and how much money that everybody needs to pay and is paying and go do it. It's not like under the table and being hidden from everything. It's out in the forefront. These colleges now are really becoming businesses for people who've been in. There's so much like pro, so much like professional sports, that colleges are, I think, rightfully and smartly hiring people who've been in professional sports. It used to be totally not like that. Think about it. Like, people would go from college to the NFL or college to the NBA. How many countless examples? Every once in a while, you'd get an NFL guy, go to college, didn't work out. But now it's like, I want to go be in college. I mean, Ron Rivera's going back to college. Andrew Luck's going back to college. This agent is going back to college. This guy from the Lions is going back to college. It's like, no, it is a professional model now. And of course, the biggest name lately, Bill Belichick, as a coach, going back to college. I mean, hey, if it works, I this week I've talked a little bit about like my apathy for where Syracuse basketball is, and I'm just so upset. And I don't know what the answer is, but I maybe Adrian Autry isn't the answer, the coach. And I'm like, go get somebody from like the professional ranks. We had Pete Sweeney on yesterday from Kansas City, who covers the Chiefs. By the way, fantastic conversation with Pete Sweeney. Really loved it. And he said, go get Billy Donovan. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Go do that. He's coached in college. I know that. And he won national titles with Florida. He's been in the NBA. Like, dad, those are the kinds of moves that colleges are making now. But yeah, I mean, like, kids, you want to be involved in sports? Train to be a college GM, because that's like the new frontier, and there's money to be made here. And I don't blame these schools and these teams. That's what they need to do. All this stuff still has to be sorted out, but they're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube, folks. For me, a guy like me, it's, you know, traditional college lover. Unfortunately, we're not going back to, you know, guys play 4 years, you root for them, yeah, yeah. So that's fine. I've accepted it. There's a lot of things I don't like about it, but that's the new reality and world, so you move on with it. And they're not changing it. There might be some tweaks in how it's regulated, which is needed, completely needed, to be a little more regulation for sure. But all this stuff, the House versus NCAA, all that stuff that's going on right now, there's more stuff on that today. Go read about it. If you just go to Google today, you want to go down a rabbit hole? Just go to Google and type in House versus NCAA, NIL, and just start reading. You'll be so confused by the end of it, because everybody is, including the schools. It's wild. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board, but can't do that right now because we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to have Sal Marana on. And Sal, of course, covers the Buffalo Bills for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He's a veteran Buffalo Bills reporter / writer. He's written a lot of books. He's seen it all. We'll get his take on where this team is now, what they need to do, where the future lies in 2025, what he heard from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at the postseason press conference last week. But also, how about baseball? It's baseball time, baby. That's right. Sal, he's a big Yankees fan, but he's huge into baseball. And we got baseball spring training happening right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about where the AL East is and a couple of the moves that were made. Juan Soto going to the Mets. So we'll sprinkle in a little baseball on a sunny but cold Valentine's Day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.